Harper Audio presents Long Time No See by Susan Isaacs, narrated by Christine McMurdo Wallace. Chapter 1. On an unseasonably warm Halloween night, while I was reading a snappy treatise on Wendell Willkie's support of FDR's war policies and handing out the occasional bag of M&Ms to a trick-or-treater, the fair-haired and dimpled Courtney Logan, age 34, magna cum laude graduate of Princeton, erstwhile investment banker at Patton Giddings, wife of darkly handsome Greg, mother of 5-year-old Morgan and 18-month-old Travis, canner of peach salsa, collector of vintage Petty Point, and ex-president of Citizens for a More Beautiful Shorehaven, vanished from Long Island into thin air. Odd. Upper-middle-class suburban women with Rolexes and bi-weekly lip-waxing appointments tend not to disappear. Though I had never met her, Courtney sounded especially solid. Less than a year before, there had been a page-one feature on her in the local paper about her new business. Star Baby produced videos of baby's first year. I thought it would succeed because I knew in my heart of hearts there were thousands just like me, Courtney was quoted as saying. It all started when Greg and I were watching a video we'd made of Morgan, our oldest. 15 minutes of Morgan staring at the mobile in her crib. A beautiful, intelligent stare, but still. After that, another 15 of her sucking her thumb. Not much else. Suddenly it hit me that we'd never taken out the video cam for Travis, our second, until he was 6 months old. I've never been able to understand this generation's infatuation for using last names as first names. Admittedly, it's a certain kind of name. You don't see little Greenberg Johnsons gadding about in sailor suits. Anyhow, Courtney went on. I was so sad. And guilty. Look what we'd missed. That's when I thought it would be so great if a professional filmmaker could have shown up once a month and made a movie starring my son. Though not unmindful of the Shorehaven Beacon's aggressively perky style, I sensed Courtney Bryce Logan was responsible for at least half those exclamation points. Clearly, she was one of those incorrigibly upbeat women I have never been able to comprehend, much less be. She'd left a thrilling, high-powered job in Manhattan. She'd traded in her brainy and hip investment banking colleagues for two tiny people bent on exploring the wonders inside their nostrils. And? Did even a single tear of regret slide down her cheek as she watched her children watching Sesame Street? Was there the slightest lump in her throat as the 811, packed with her Dana Buckman-suited contemporaries, chugged off to the city? Nope. Apparently, for can-do dames like Courtney, being a full-time mom was full-time bliss. Ambivalence? Please. Retirement was merely a segue into a new career, motherhood, another chance to strut their stuff. However, what I liked about her was that she spoke about Shorehaven not just with affection, but with appreciation, with familiarity with its history. Well, all right. With its myths. She mentioned to the reporter that one of the scenic backgrounds Starbaby used was our town dock. She said, Walt Whitman actually wrote his two-line poem to you right there. In truth, Courtney was just perpetuating a particularly dopey local folktale, but I felt grateful to her for having considered our town and our island-born poet important. I think I even said to myself, gee, I should get to know her. Well, I'm a historian. I have inordinate warmth for anyone who invokes the past in public. My working hours are spent at St. Elizabeth's College, mostly squandered in history department shriekfests. I'm an adjunct professor at this alleged institution of higher learning, a formerly all-female, formerly nun-run, formerly first-rate school across the county border in the New York City borough of Queens. Anyhow, for 2.5 seconds, I considered giving Courtney a call and saying hi. Or even, hi, my name is Judith Singer, and let's have lunch. But like most of those assertive notions, it was
Sample complete. Ready to continue?